Live streaming provided by Alpha Geek Radio and Alpha Geek Video. Visit tunein.alphageekradio.com to learn more.
Finally, Friday is being brought to you this week, commercial-free, thanks to our friends around the world who are Major Spoilers VIPs. Their small monthly contributions ensure that these shows go out to you free of charge. And we thank them for their support. If you would like to become a Major Spoilers VIP, simply point your browser to members.majorspoilers.com. Sign up today and help us continue to make more great stuff for you. Well, hello, everyone. It is I, Stephen Schleicher, and it's me. I'm back from outer space. Thank you so much for joining us again this week. For Finally Friday, I know it's been a rough week for some of you, maybe an easy week for others, and I know a lot of people are getting ready to take off for vacation all of next week. I know my university is closed for an entire week. The oldest son has school 2 days next week, and then it's Thanksgiving time. Holy cow, it's here. 785-727-1939. That is the number you want to call if you want to get in on the conversation this week. Or if you are on Skype, you can just simply look for me at Steven_Schleicher. But before we get to your phone calls, let's warm things up a little bit with some news. We're going to start things off this week with gaming news. USAopoly has announced that it is bringing an all-new Munchkin game to store shelves for gamers, and it may be the best game for Marvel fans as well. It's Munchkin the Marvel Edition. USAopoly describes the game as, quote, created under license from Steve Jackson Games and in conjunction with Marvel, Munchkin Marvel Edition comes complete with new monsters, allies, and custom shield identification cards, and is the perfect gift for Munchkin fans who are ready for an epic Marvel battle, unquote. Now, if you are going to the Board Game Geek Con that's going on this weekend in Dallas, Texas, you can stop by the USAopoly or the Steve Jackson Games booths and pick up a Munchkin Marvel Edition bookmark, which works as a card during gameplay. The Munchkin Marvel Edition features 6 oversized shield agent roll cards, which I'm kind of interested in really seeing what those look like, 168 door and treasure cards, 6 level trackers, some custom die, game rules, and the Munchkin Marvel Edition arrives in April 2016. We're going to flip over to some movie news now. When it was first announced that George Miller would direct the Justice League movie, a lot of people poo-pooed the idea due in part to Miller's work on the animated feature Happy Feet, as well as Babe, Pig in the City. But now that the director has achieved massive success from Mad Max Fury Road, many are starting to re-examine what the movie would have looked like before the writer's strike shut everything down. Titled Justice League Mortal, the movie would have starred Armie Hammer as Batman, DJ Quatrona as Superman, Megan Gale as Wonder Woman, Santiago Cabrera as Aquaman, Adam Brody as Flash, Common as Green Lantern, and a whole bunch of other people were already cast in the roles. They were just finalizing the script when the writer's strike took place. They even went so far as to do costuming looks, including the one that you're seeing here featuring Megan Gale in full Wonder Woman costuming. The photos popped up this week on Mark Rogers' website. They look fantastic. I mean, look at the detail in some of these areas. And though Zack Snyder is fully in as Warner Brothers' go-to guy for superhero flicks, starting to think the WB might want to ring Miller up and see what other movies he might want to take on. And oh, if Megan Gale looks familiar, then you probably know her from the Mad Max Fury Road. She played the Valkyrie. Pretty cool. In an interview with Collider, actor Ryan Gosling confirmed that he will be joining the cast of the upcoming Blade Runner sequel. Production is slated to begin next year with no release date yet for why Gosling couldn't say anything more beyond, quote, "Yes, it's true. There's a chip in me that will explode if I say anything else," unquote. At this time, the only other known actor for Blade Runner 2 is Harrison Ford. Speaking of Harrison Ford and Star Wars, if you have any worries at all that Star Wars The Force Awakens will suffer at the box office, you don't need to fret too much. Wall Street Journal and The Hollywood Reporter both have reports from inside sources that claim the pre-release ticket sales have generated more than $50 million in North America alone. And though the number may not be down to the exact dollar, ticket sales at this time have already doubled the $25 million generated by The Dark Knight Rises in 2012. In the first 24 hours of ticket sales, which began on October 20th, AMC Theaters sold out more than 1,000 shows nationwide, which also set a record. Interestingly, many people appear to be eager to see Star Wars The Force Awakens on the big screen, as almost close to 40% of all those ticket sales are coming from IMAX theaters. The Hollywood Reporter article speculates that opening weekend ticket sales could top $250 million, making it a bigger opening than Jurassic World from this past summer. If you're wondering what other movies are arriving on the December 18th opening, you have your choice of Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Road Chip, Extraction, Mojin the Last Legend, Sisters, and Son of Saul. Only one of these movies is smart enough to release in only 30 theaters. Over now to television news. Don't want to talk too much about Jessica Jones. I did get a chance to see the first two episodes. And I will say that it is not Daredevil, which is actually a good thing. The Jones character is very emotional and very emotionally involved and troubled in this series. I really like Luke Cage's appearance in this. And the color palette in every single shot, at least in the first two episodes, if you look carefully, and once you see it, you cannot unsee it. There is a shade of purple in every single shot of the first two episodes. As you start to gear your fingers up to dial the Major Spoilers hotline, let's get into our last story today, toys. Netflix Daredevil series is still really fresh in everyone's mind. I'm still working my way through the series. And because merchandise tie-ins are all the rage, be on the lookout for Funko Pop vinyls based on the television series. The first wave of toys will feature three different versions of Matt Murdock, one as a lawyer, one in his black vigilante costume, and one in the red costume seen in the final episodes of the series. And of course, there will also be a pop vinyl of Kingpin, so Daredevil has someone to fight. The Netflix Daredevil pop vinyls will arrive in February, and they have an asking price of $10. And there you go. That's your news for the week. All right, the phone lines are open now, 785-727-1939. It's time for you to call in with your thoughts, your questions, your suggestions, wherever you want to take the show. I'm interested in hearing from you, as are all the people listening around the world, either through the YouTube channel, in the podcast playback that we have, or over on Alpha Geek Radio. Again, thanks for Alpha Geek Radio for hosting our audio and video feeds. And again, 785-727-1939, or you can just call me on the Skype line at Steven_Schleicher. What does that say? Olin wrote in the comment section there and says, don't think I'm going to call in, but wanted to let you know that I received my Modern City pint glasses and I love them. Well, I'm glad you do. And if you are looking to get some Major Spoilers merchandise, I would point you to Major Spoilers. Let me bring this up here. Majorspoilers.bigcartel.com. And you can buy all sorts of really cool merchandise over there for the holidays. The new things that we really probably haven't pushed as hard as we have been or could is a series of Modern City posters designed by Thomas Perkins that are done up in the style of old comic books, but each cover features one of the main characters from Modern City. So you've got Professor Disaster King, you've got Rumblebee and Jetstar starring in The Dead and the Old. Again, that's a comic that we referenced in the series. There is a Modern Man comic that we had done up, Modern Man number 76. And these are big posters. These are 12 by 18 posters, which I think are pretty big. I'm going to get them all framed once mine come in. And I think this is something that if you're a fan of what we do, then you might want to check these out. I like this CGC graded slabbed version of Free Agent number 128 featuring the Knight of the Gator Kings. And then, of course, the other things that we have over there include glasses, coasters, dice bags, a whole lot more. So I'm glad you're enjoying those, Olin, and maybe some of the rest of you want to go check those out in the coming months. I mean, we do have Thanksgiving's right around the corner, Black Friday's right around the corner. I don't know if we're doing any deals over at the store. I'll have to reach out to David and see if we're going to do anything on that day. But well, these are really pretty cheap. If you are doing any other shopping, Black Friday shopping online or Black Monday shopping, if you're going to purchase through Amazon, just a reminder to click on that Amazon link at majorspoilers.com. That'll take you to the Major Spoilers. That'll take you to Amazon where you can purchase your stuff. Same price, a little bit comes back our way. And again, it really helps us out. So thank you there. Some people like Key Lime Pie, Yay Friday, says Nate, and a whole bunch more. So give me a call, 785-727-1939. Last week, you guys did a great job of calling in, and everybody loved last week's show. In fact, the last couple of weeks have been really good. Programming note, if you haven't heard already how many podcasts we are doing in an average week, just in this last week, and we didn't have a full slate of releases this week, we released 8 shows this week, just to show you what we're doing. So this week we had Wayne's Comics podcast release on Sunday. Usually on Monday we have a Munchkin Land episode or a Munchkin Minute episode, but I'm busy editing video, which I'm hoping to have up by Monday. So you'll have a Munchkin Land episode that's a video format on our YouTube channel, the one that you're watching right now. We also have Geek History Lesson provided to us from Jason Inman and Ashley Victoria Robinson. On Tuesday we have the Major Spoilers podcast, which was a lot of fun because we talked about Supergirl this week. And then also we had Lizard People Dear Readers release another episode to us. Whoops, hold on 1 second. Let's get back to Jarmo real quick. And then, of course, we had Dueling Reviews last night. I accidentally had all the calls come in as automatic. Dueling Reviews, Zach on Film, Finally Friday, Critical Hit. That's a lot of shows being released in a week. Jarmo, what's going on with you this week?
Hi, Stephen.
How are you?
How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I just thought that I would like to comment a little bit of Jessica Jones thing.
Okay, if we're going to talk Jessica Jones, there's only one rule that I'm going to have right now.
I'm not going to spoil anything.
Yeah, I know this is like a major spoilers thing, but so many people. I mean, the one thing that I will say that I don't like about this release that they do is that they release it at midnight Pacific time, which is like 2 a.m. Central time and 3 a.m. East Coast time. So I think most people are going to start watching it tonight. I did take some time this morning and watch the first 2 episodes. So what do you want to talk about, Jessica Jones?
Yeah, and I'm about 7 hours before East Coast, U.S.
Yeah.
And that's really a problem if someone wants to spoil anything. Mm-hmm. But I only saw first episode so far. And
what'd you think?
I think it's at least as good as Daredevil, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the style. It's very stylish and that purple color and stuff. And obviously there's not much about the plot yet. But
I think we can kind of, I mean, I'm pretty sure that the plot's kind of been revealed. So in this first episode, a girl has been kidnapped. Jessica has been hired to find her. Well, she hasn't been kidnapped. She's kind of just dropped off the radar.
Yes.
And then, of course, because everyone knows that the Purple Man is involved, Jessica discovers that it's the Purple Man is involved in this. And that kicks off the series by the end of the first episode, or the larger story at the end of the first episode.
Yes, I think so too.
Yeah.
And then another thing, I saw that you played a little bit of Star Wars Battlefront.
Yes, I did. Poorly.
So what do you think about it?
To be honest, and I know a lot of people are talking about, EA had made another game like this where you run around and shoot and have similar missions and things. The last game that I've played like this is Titanfall, and a lot of what I was doing in Star Wars Battlefront feels like Titanfall, including the one that I didn't record, but I will, is the droid battle, which is kind of like the battle of attrition where you're trying to capture these bases. In this case, you're trying to capture droids that are running around. Then they just shoot them up, who can kill the most. It feels very much like that. But what I like about it is it right now is set in the Star Wars universe and has 4 planets. And we'll get another DLC in December that has Jakku, which is the planet in the upcoming Star Wars movie. I have not had a chance to play one of the giant battles yet, the 40-person battles. But I like it. It's good to kill 30 minutes is what it is. It's the games are fast. I know a lot of people are like, there's no solo mode. But, you know, if you just want to play by yourself, it will find you a team to go play the game with. So I rather like it a lot.
Yeah, I'm not a big online shooter person myself. I do play a lot of video games, but not online that much.
Mm-hmm.
Guess I'm a bit too old to hear 12-year-old kids screaming to my ear constantly.
I don't know if this game features that. I mean, Titanfall kind of features that, but all the times that I've played, I just mute everybody talking and yelling, so I don't have to hear it at all. And so that works for me.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be kind of light too. I mean, about the gameplay depth, you don't have to actually cooperate and
right
and hang in the chat and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now there is a feature that we haven't tried yet, and it's a lot of people were like, "Oh, Steven, why'd you get this on the Xbox One?" I actually thought I got it on the PS4, but then I remember the reason why I got it on Xbox One is there's a double player mode. So if there are two people in your house, you can both play together as a team going into a game. It's a split screen, but
okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So the thing that I've been waiting for is for my son to have some free time, and maybe we'll do it this weekend so he can hop on and the two of us can go fight either together. I think that's how it works. I hope it's not each one of you is on a different side, because he'll just murder me.
I think it's on the same side.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the best thing about it really is that it is Star Wars, and it looks and sounds like Star Wars very much, I think. What I've seen from the trailers and stuff.
Oh yeah, there's some really cool features. Like while I was waiting for the game to load, there's a mission that you can go on as Darth Vader where you're invading the Hoth base, and so you play as Darth Vader. So you can use your lightsaber and you can throw it to take people out. You can use it to block shots being fired at you, and you can use those shots to deflect and have the ricochet hit the other players or the rebels. You can force choke somebody out, and I think you can also float and hover as another option that you can do. So it feels very much like a Star Wars game.
That really sounds that it's much like those old PC games, what they were called, Jedi Knight series, I think.
Right.
Yes, you could actually. I think it was mouse controlled lightsaber fighting.
Oh, okay.
That was pretty cool at the time. Although my favorite Star Wars games were the X-Wing and TIE Fighter.
Oh,
those simulator ones.
Uh-huh. I never got into a lot of video games growing up, simply because we didn't have one in the house when I was living with my parents. And then by the time I was in college, I had to pay for everything myself, so there wasn't a lot of free money to buy giant consoles. I did have a Game Boy, and then later I got a Sega system. But then when I moved to Atlanta, you know, console games like this had not come out yet, especially for internet connection. And the only game that I remember playing was a one of the mech games. I forget what it was, but it was pretty interesting driving that around. But that was on PC. So the last couple of years since we've gotten the Xbox One and the PS4, Titanfall has really been kind of my introduction to those first-person battle shooter team-up games.
Yes, I think that's about it from me today.
Okay.
And we don't have that Thanksgiving thing, but you have fun and hang with your family and have a little bit of free time.
All right, take care.
Yeah, same to you. Thanks.
Bye. I love it when people call in from overseas. And let's go to another phone call. Who's this?
Hey, Steven, it's Nato, sir.
Hey, Nate, did I hang up on you a little bit ago? Were you the caller
maybe.
That I...
Who cares? It's all right.
Oh, okay, sorry. Sorry. I had the auto answer on and I had answered Jarmo first, and then you bumped in, and I was like, oh, let me bump back. So what's on your mind today?
I was going to say, that's a problem you want to have, right? Too
yes,
many people
definitely.
Calling in.
I love it. I do love it. So what's on your mind today?
A couple things. I did play Battlefront as well. Of course, I got it on the PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
I did all the beginning missions and stuff. I haven't played anything multiplayer yet. I just kind of did all the training missions, just kind of get the feel with it. I did watch your battle. You had your gun up Normally, I'm running around in a circle shooting the ground. So,
well,
you got that on me.
Apparently, and a lot of people, and I figured people were going to just dump on the comment section, going, "Oh man, you suck," blah blah blah. But you know, there were actually some very encouraging comments on the comments for that video. And someone says, "Trust your auto lock," and I was like, "I didn't know that there was an auto target or auto locking feature in the game." So I'm going to have to go and see if that's something that you can actually do.
Yeah, and I got to change what my problem is I overcompensate from the old video games playing on a PC where I'm you know, using a mouse and stuff. So
yeah.
When I was doing the snow speeder missions, there's not an auto lock on those, but I'm like going left, right. I'm like,
shooting
a circle around the around the ATSTs, and they're just like, ha ha. So
when I did the speeder bike one,
That was cool.
It was cool, but my God, I could not steer for crap, and I just kept crashing every 100 feet. I would slam into something. It's like, you died by your own hand.
you died.
Yeah.
Killed by you.
Yes, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, and actually the PlayStation 4 version 2 has, it's really neat. I don't know, because I don't have the Xbox, but the missions or single player missions, you can do the missions solo.
Oh, okay.
With a friend online. Mm-hmm. So if you have someone that's online, you can get them to co-op with you, or you can do a co-op with someone, you know, with another controller.
Right. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's there too. So that's fun.
Well, I'm hoping that with that two-player option that I can get Mason on board and we can play together.
Yeah, I had fun, and I thought that was a neat touch while the game was installing and loading. You can run around the Star Citizen and kill people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. But it seems like, and this is the other thing that I think is kind of neat, is Mason was playing as Luke Skywalker in one of the single missions. And it didn't look like you had the same powers as Darth Vader. I was like, well, you should be blocking the blasters with your lightsaber. He's like, I don't have that power. So I thought that was interesting. So that, you know, everybody has their own pros and cons as far as playing the character, which I thought worked out really, really nicely.
Plus, there's all the little add-on cards and enhancements. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole slew of things you can purchase after you've gotten so many points and stuff. And there's actually they have an app. I don't know if it links up, but I downloaded it the other day, and it's like a little mini game, so you can get points and cards on that.
Oh,
too.
Really?
So
okay.
Yeah, it's on iTunes and Google Play, and you log in with the EA account. So I don't know. I haven't had a chance to see if it links up with that, if you do stuff on that, if it links back up into something else, but who knows? It's pretty
well,
cool.
If I can log in with my EA account, then that's kind of a good thing.
Yeah. Then, let's see, what else? I haven't watched Jessica Jones yet, but the funny thing is the screenshots you were showing,
mm-hmm.
I do play a game, the Marvel's Contest of Champions or whatever,
mm-hmm.
And that was a new background. So that Jones. Yeah, which was weird because I started playing and I was fighting, and all of a sudden it was like New York City. I'm like, wow, that's really weird. That's the same backgrounds. And they also have a sub storyline, because there's like a main theme storyline, but there's a sub storyline that has Jessica Jones, Daredevil, and Luke Cage in it.
Oh, cool.
And they're marketing the heck out of it. So,
oh, I'm sure they are.
Yeah. And then I actually got to go up to Disney this weekend, or last weekend. I went mm-hmm. to Animal Kingdom, then we went to Hollywood Studios.
Right.
And the coolest thing was we went on Star Tours,
mm-hmm.
and as you come out, you know, they have the gift shop and stuff. They have every single comic that they are producing there in the gift shop.
That is excellent. Yeah, that is excellent. So were there people, did you see people picking it up?
Yeah, there's a couple of people, ooh, what's this? You know, Darth Vader, and they had all the, you know, Chewbacca's and all the ones up there too. So
yeah.
And then we saw them. Also, in Animal Kingdom, they're doing the whole Pandora thing for
the Zooland, or not Zoolander, Zootopia.
Yeah. For from movie, Avatar.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know that was a Disney
Avatar.
Oh, I didn't know that that was a Disney joint.
It's not. They went in kind of a partnership or whatever, so they're creating like a little Pandora piece of Animal Kingdom. So
okay. So the Disney World, they have not done the new Star Wars area?
No, they haven't, because what they're doing is they're actually taking part of like the Hollywood lot, and they're basically taking that away and starting to expand that. I don't think anything's starting until next year.
Oh, okay. I thought that they were going to have it, at least one of the parks, up and running like into December 1st of January.
Maybe that's Disney. I don't know if the, I don't know. Epcot, I don't think, is going to have it. And Magic Kingdom is too packed. So I know they're doing a whole bunch of stuff at Hollywood Studios, but they have not done any of that stuff yet.
Okay, so. Cool. So what are you doing for Thanksgiving this year? Are you doing anything special?
No, just probably just hanging at home, cooking some turkey, eating some pie, getting stuff, playing some probably Battlefront here and there, and trying to catch up on my comics and YouTube channel stuff and a whole bunch of stuff. So,
excellent.
5 days of relaxing.
Yeah. I know the big plan for Mason is he wants to play lots of FIFA 16, which he loves doing. And then he wants to play a new Spider-Man Dice Master. So I'm sure that's what we'll be doing most of the time.
Yeah, my daughter the other day, she was funny, she came out here. She saw one of my Munchkin cards from the comic book, and she was reading it. Looking at it, she goes, so she's 9, and I know I'll have to help her, but she really wants to start playing Munchkin. So I'm like, that's fine.
Actually,
so next weekend.
It is not that hard, because Mason, we had him play when he was 6 or 7, I think he got to play his first game. And after about halfway through, he got it pretty figured out. So he knew what to drop and how to crap on everybody else to move himself forward. And I was more experienced, so I kind of knew how to play the game more than my wife or he did. But he was very close behind. And I have a feeling if we were to sit down now and play it, he would blow me away. And if you need kind of a primer on do what the cards say kind of thing, I would check out Flux if you haven't checked out Flux, because that is a fun game, and there's so many variations of that one. But it's something that a younger kid, I think, would really enjoy. And if she can get some logic down, there's a real logic to how to win that game. And Mason's beat me more than a couple of times at that.
That's like something now that she's getting a little more where she can read stuff. I mean, not that she can't read, but
right.
No. Women don't read. No.
No.
Now she's just comprehending a lot more stuff. So it's going to be a lot more fun and stuff. So the only last thing is I have a question about Flash.
Okay.
So the portals.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two things. I listened to Flashback, and one thing you didn't mention, I don't know if you picked up on it.
I did. I know where you're going. Mm-hmm.
They said Jay was gone.
They said Jay was gone, and I think that they mean that Jay didn't want to have anything to do with them, but he had not gone back to Earth 2 yet.
Okay.
I think he's still around in the city, but he's just hanging back.
Okay. And then the other question is the portals, is it me, or are the portals only going to Earth 2? There's 51 portals only to Earth 2.
So that's
each of those portals go back to a different section in Earth 2, but no one's really said anything else about other dimensions besides Earth 2.
That is the thing that I think a lot of people have picked up on, but nobody has really discussed. So we saw that. When Harrison Wells was mapping things out, he specifically said, hey, we can open up, we can push them through one of these portals and have them end up in specific locations in Earth 2. So what it appears to be is that even though they've already talked about the multiverse, and even though in the dialogue, Firestorm, what's his name? Victor Garber's character. He said that there was an infinite number of worlds out there, And so people just assume that these portals would take you to the 52 worlds of DC Comics. But it appears that all of these portals only take you, at least at this point, only take you to Earth 2. Which is weird.
Yeah, that's what I kind of picked up on that. I was like, whoa, wait, what?
Yeah. So I'm a little disappointed in that because they have the opportunity to really go crazy if they want to. And maybe Harrison Wells just assumes that they all go to Earth 2, but in reality, maybe they go to some other places. And he's just been lucky so far.
Yep. But another good episode, another good flashback. So,
yeah.
But that's it. That's all my tidbits for this week.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Nate.
Always. And have a good Thanksgiving to your family and everyone else out there in spoiler light land.
All right.
And we'll catch you on the flip side.
All right. Take care, Nate. Have a great weekend. And thanks for being number one. 785-727-1939. That is the number that you want to call. I want to jump back to Flux real quick and talk about some of the different variations of Flux that you can get. There's basic Flux, which is, it's okay. But there's a holiday Flux, a regular show Flux, which we've played before on Munchkin Land, Cthulhu Flux, which is fun. There's Oz, Star Flux, Pirate Flux, Monty Python Flux. So if you're a big Monty Python fan, Zombie Flux, Eco Flux. And then, of course, you have a couple of others, and what they don't show on the main page over at Looney Labs is that there is a Batman Flux game, which just rocks. So if you haven't tried Flux, it's a fun game. It's super simple. You're done in about 35 to 40 minutes per game, and it can get really competitive when you think you've got a plan down on how to acquire what you need, and then suddenly somebody changes the rules on you. So it's a lot of fun, and I would encourage you to check it out. Let's go to the phone line. Hi, who is this?
Hey, Steven, it's Big Jim from just outside Hangar 18 here in Dayton.
Hey, what's going on?
I apologize for the car phone. I don't know how much reverb you're getting.
Nope, it sounds fine.
Okay, great. I'm driving home from work. It's been a long day, and I'm glad it's finally Friday for sure.
I hear you.
Let's cut the brass tacks.
Okay.
I want to know, where are the Matthew tapes? You mentioned in doing reviews there are the Matthew tapes. I'm ready for the Matthew tapes. Bring on the Matthew tapes.
Well, first of all, they have to be approved, number one. I have to let everybody who's in on it listen to it and see if they approve, because there's some stuff that's on those that are not super nice. If you have any doubt that that they exist, I opened up the file today and did a screenshot of all the tracks, and there's over 3 hours of content of just behind the scenes stuff. Some of it is longer conversation stuff from different places where we're just talking about wrestling or different kinds of stuff. But there are definitely, as I was joking, there's definitely an easy 10 minutes of Matthew telling everybody to shut up while he's trying to record his show.
That is amazing.
I've been collecting these for about the last 6 to 8 months. So
I almost want to take them and remix them into like a mega mix with like a beat in the background.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just like, I think that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, second point.
Okay.
I know you are probably 2 months ahead in Critical Hit right now?
No, actually we are not. So the episode that releases this week is the last episode that we recorded back in August. And then Rodrigo moved, and just because of his move and everybody's schedules, we had a huge break. And so we only started recording again. Was it last week?
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Last week is we just started recording again. So we had a huge 2 month break, which I was really hoping that 2 month break would have happened in December and January. Instead, it happened all throughout September and October. And like I said, we just started recording again in November. So at this point, we are, as of the new episode releasing this week, we will be 4 episodes ahead. So we're only a month ahead of Critical Hit recordings. We've got, before the end of the year, we've got 3 more recording sessions, which should put us ahead by 2 months by the time we hit the end of December.
Okay. Yeah, that was my only question was, like, it's like we need to hit this goal. I need more.
Yeah, so. If we hit the goal, we would definitely have all those episodes ready to go. But because of Rodrigo's move and me having to get some new technology so that we could record, and I know a lot of people, I guess my thing is I like to have ultimate control over audio. So, in the early days of Critical Hit, when it was just Matthew as the remote player, in like the super, super early episodes, we were recording to a 2-track recorder. So I would pan everybody that was in the room to 1 track. And then I would dump Matthew on another track so I could clean up his track a lot easier. And then as things started to get more complicated, I was like, well, if Rob is coughing or doing something, I can't easily take that out if it was all mixed to 1 track. So we moved to a big multi-track recorder. And now that people are in distant locations, I need to have them on separate tracks too, because if Rodrigo's talking and somebody else is making noise on the same Skype channel, it's going to be impossible to take that out. So I had to come up with yet another solution to record the show so that it has the best audio quality. And unfortunately, we would probably be about 2 months ahead at this point. But at the last minute, one of the solutions that I had come up with just failed and wasn't working. So,
so you're doing what? You're using like a Wirecast to have each individual Skype line?
No, because Wirecast won't let me do that. So actually what I'm using, it's super convoluted. I've got this new system. It's a digital recorder again. And so what I'm doing is I'm bringing in Rodrigo on his own Skype line and Matthew and Sam on their own Skype line. And then the rest of us will have our own channels on this multi-track recorder. And so what ends up happening is by the end of a recording session, I have 6 different audio tracks that are all synced together that I can then just go in, clean up, and then start my edits.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then, so what happens then is the reason why I had to get a whole new different recording setup is because I needed the auxiliary sends so I could send 1 batch of audio to Rodrigo and 1 batch of audio to the others so that they weren't hearing themselves in an echo format. So it just keeps everything clean.
You got a master mix with that. So then,
Wow. It's a mix minus setup. So it works and it seems to be really good, but it was costly to get set up, but I just want to make sure that we have good, clear audio as best as we can have it. And we're getting there. So,
I'm super stoked about where this is going. I'm really excited for where Critical Hit is. I think you guys are doing an amazing job with it.
Oh, thank you.
And I know I'm just being an echo chamber for what pretty much everybody else is probably listening and saying, yes, Critical Hit is fabulous. Yes, yes. But it really, it's one of the joys of my Saturday is waking up, downloading, and then listening to that is the first thing I do.
Well, good. I'm glad you enjoy that.
It makes me so happy. So,
yeah.
Thank you guys very much. You have a great weekend. And hey, what's your big grab for Black Friday?
I probably am not going to grab anything for Black Friday because my wife may be watching or listening.
Good answer.
And so, there's something that she's been wanting for a while, and I just got to see if our finances line up to get it. I don't really have anything big planned. I have kind of already done all my holiday shopping for the boys, which means I've been buying stuff on and off for the last 6 months, only to find out that the 2 things that they both now really want are things that are going to take like 5 weeks to get in. So it's like, you guys, I wish they'd tell us ahead of time.
Isn't it? I mean, you can thread the needle, but you never quite get through it. So
yeah. So,
all right. Well, you have a great Thanksgiving.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
So a real quick programming note regarding Critical Hit. As most of you know, we do take Thanksgiving off. We try to take the major holidays off if they fall on the weekend. And this year, it's going to be kind of weird because normally we have about 50 weeks of programming for you. I think we're still going to end up with 50 weeks of programming because we still had something released during Nerdtacular this year, I believe. But so next weekend, the Thanksgiving weekend, there will not be a Critical Hit. That's okay. Because I will kind of tell you that this week's episode is not a cliffhanger. It kind of ends. It's a nice chapter ending for the show because we kind of anticipated kind of a break and we didn't know if we were going to have a break that was going to last a month or just a break that would last a week. And then as it looks like the week following Thanksgiving, we will be back with all of our regular programming. Next week, we should have, I don't know if we're going to do a Zach on Film yet this week, but we will have, it looks like, a Wayne's Comics podcast, Geek History Lesson, Munchkin Land, Major Spoilers podcast, because I've got an interview with a comic creator this weekend to do that you will hear next week. And then you will also have Dueling Reviews. What you won't have is maybe Zach on Film. You won't have Finally Friday next week, and you won't have Critical Hit next week. Although there's a way I could probably do Finally Friday. We'll see how that goes. And then you may not have a Wayne's Comics podcast on the 28th, 29th. Then the week of the 30th, everything will be back to normal until the 25th. We may have a, that's Christmas Day is the 25th on the Friday, so we probably will not have a Finally Friday on that date. We may not have a Critical Hit that weekend. The weird thing is the next weekend is New Year's Day. I'm pretty confident that there will be a Critical Hit that releases that weekend, but probably not a Finally Friday that weekend either. We'll just see how it goes and see what you guys are in the mood for. But all of your other regular programming should continue. Top five, man, we've got so many top five episodes recorded that as of this week, we have shows that go to the end of February. So that's an every other week show. So we've got a lot banked there. So that's where we are sitting at with that. So thank you, Jim, for calling in and asking those questions. Talk about the Snowpiercer TV series. Why would you want me to talk about the Snowpiercer TV series? I thought it was a horrible movie. It's probably going to pick up right where the movie left off and will be a horrible, horrible television show. So there you go. That's my thoughts on Snowpiercer. The less said, the better. Now, I know some people love that movie, but it is horrid. So I don't know if you're being a troll by asking me that, because I did go off multiple times, both on this show and I think on the Major Spoilers podcast and maybe Zach on Film, about how awful that movie is. My understanding is the comic book, the series of graphic novels that have been released are okay. And I know some of you really love Snowpiercer, but it's just not for me. Let's see. Jay needs powers. Oh, so there is an episode coming up. Going back to Flash, Jay needs powers. Otherwise, he has no real role in the team, at least as long as Wells is there. There is an episode coming up, and I believe it is the December 8th or 9th episode, where Harry Wells develops something to get Jay his speed back or to enhance speed, and he uses Jay as his test subject. And I think Jay's going to get his powers back before we go into the hiatus for the winter break. So that's just what IMDb has listed. So you can take that for what it's worth. Let's go to the phone lines now. Hi, who is this?
This is Matthew Peterson.
Oh, hi, Matthew. How are you?
This is the other Matthew Peterson. Yeah.
I'm sorry about last week. We had a big mix up at the end where the technology just totally crapped out on me. So I'm sorry about that.
Well, that's what we get for depending on technology. So
there you go. So what's on your mind this week?
Well, still interested in Vertigo comics. If you want to talk about those. And all also, right. I have to curse you because I went out and bought every Dice Master set and way too many
of
booster
the
packs than I should have.
Well, so let me tell you, as far as Dice Masters go, instead of going and buy those, and I didn't believe Rob when he first told me about it, but we've done it now twice now. Go over to the Amazon link at Major Spoilers and order the entire Gravity feed. If you want to try to get all of them, you can buy those boosters at $1 a piece and you get two dice in there. But if you buy that Gravity feed, it actually turns out to be cheaper buying it through Amazon, or maybe your game store can get it for you cheaper. I know our friendly local gaming store ordered a couple of Gravity feeds for me for Amazing Spider-Man that I'm going to go pick up here in a little while. But those are significantly discounted than trying to go and buy those individual bags.
Oh, right. Because I think I saw anywhere between $50 or $60 for 90 bags.
Yes. Yes. And that's a significant discount.
Sure. Sure. Are you going to do an unboxing video for the Gravity feeds for the Spider-Man stuff?
I don't know if we'll do an unboxing for the Gravity feeds. It just depends on how the weekend plays out, because there's a couple of other videos that I have to get shot before then. But the plan is to try to do that. Mason and I opened up the War of Light Gravity feed, and I had all but one dice that I needed. I needed one Starfire die, but in that gravity feed, I got everything else except for the ultra rares. I think we got like two of the ultra rares. We got a Spider-Man, or I'm sorry, a Batman zombie, and I forget what the other one was, but I'm a big fan now of just getting a gravity feed instead of trying to figure it out.
Well, I have to thank you for turning me on to it because, Couriers, when I watched reviews of that game, no interest in it at all. I was like, it was just rolling dice.
Right.
But I think this game has so many more elements and so much customization.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched your video yesterday of the Spider-Man unboxing. I was like, I got to check this out. So I ran down the local game store, met up with my brother, and we played a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've ended up signing up for a tournament on Saturday in North Kansas City and a tournament on Sunday in Central Kansas City. So,
oh, okay, cool.
Should be a good time.
So let me tell you, I forgot to mention this, I think, last week. I was going to talk about coming back for my dad's birthday, but we stopped in Lawrence on Saturday, and there is a very small gaming store called the Rolling Gnome. Rolling Gnome. And they've got a Facebook page and everything, but every Saturday they have Dice Master, or no, I'm sorry, every Sunday at noon, they have Dice Master stuff that they do.
Huh.
So if you're looking for yet another outlet and you can make it over to Lawrence, which is, 40 minutes away from Kansas City, then there's another outlet for you. And they're super friendly. I was really impressed. That was the first time we were in the store and everybody there was super, super nice.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So I hope you enjoy it. Dice Masters is a lot of fun, and you can make some awesome decks and some awesome combos that can really power each other up. If you haven't gotten the War of Light, there's a real cool combination where the Blue Lanterns and the Green Lanterns power each other up. And if you do it right, you can very quickly roll out like an 8-8 character that just dominates the board. So
looking for it. That is the only comic book themed. Oh, I take that back. I don't have Avengers versus X-Men starter set, and I don't have the War of Light starter set.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you get the DC starter set?
Yeah. The Justice League one.
Justice League. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then there is a Batman versus Superman one that will come out, I think in January is when one will come out. Yeah. And that's going to have like Power Girl and, I think Suicide Squad is in that one too.
My only concern is, I'm obviously less than 24 hours exposed to this game, but it just seems like there's already so much stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope they don't oversaturize.
That was my worry, but the thing is, the nice thing about these sets is if you don't want to play Amazing Spider-Man and you don't care about any of those characters and you have a really solid deck from your other stuff, that's fine. But the other cool thing is that you can combine all of these sets and you don't have to just play Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man as your set. You can bring in stuff from Justice League. You can bring in stuff from War of Light. You can bring in Yu-Gi-Oh! And Dungeons and Dragons and mix them together and just really create an awesome set. If you go on YouTube, do a search for WizKids World Championship Dice Masters, and they live streamed them, but then you can watch the playback of the champions playing their games.
Oh, that'll be worth watching.
Yeah. And if you look in our YouTube channel, I think, are you the one that commented that said you ran out in the YouTube channel that said you ran out and bought Dice Master sets?
That's me.
Oh, okay. Then you saw the link that I put in there saying, hey, check out our other Dice Master stuff that we've done on the channel.
Yeah, I watched the championship between was it you and Rob?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was great. It's a lot of fun. So
yeah, it definitely is. And for less than $200, I mean, if you got the starter set's $20 and the gravity feed is $80 if you get it, or $70 depending on how you do it, you can have a pretty powerful deck right there. It may not be tournament winning, but you can build an awesome deck out of that stuff.
Right. Did you play Legendary?
Yes, I have played Legendary, and Legendary is very fun.
Legendary. This, to me, is a lot like, and obviously because Legendary is deck building, and this is deck building with dice, this is kind of versus Legendary for me with some different elements. I really like it.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. In fact, we played Legendary a couple of times on Munchkin Land, and I won both times on that. We will be playing a Legendary Secret Wars pretty soon in video so that people can see the board And then we'll also be playing Ghostbusters, the new Ghostbusters game, on video as well in a couple of weeks.
Oh, I am looking forward to that. That looks great. It's a game I want to try before I drop the 80 or 90 mm-hmm. bucks for it, mm-hmm. but man, does it look sweet.
Yeah, D&D Brian, you know, I paid at our Hastings, sold it. When I checked out with tax, it was like $107 total for that game. But D&D Brian is always good at finding games for cheaper. And I think you can get that game with tax and everything for like $50 if you know where to look.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's considerably cheaper going through his little ins and outs. And if you do a shout out to D&D Brian on Twitter, he'll probably tell you where he goes to check out the deals.
Cool.
Yeah. So what's going on with Vertigo?
Well, they're just killing it, I think. I really, I haven't gotten to, this was a big week for me. I have not gotten a chance to read Red Thorn, but I listened to Dueling Reviews this morning.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that one, but everything else has been at least trade worthy for me, mm-hmm. if not read on a monthly basis. I think the weakest one so far for me was Survivors Club.
Okay.
I have just not read that one. Because the gimmick there wasn't necessarily for me, but mm-hmm. I just, every title, you know, Clean Room, enjoyed both of those issues. I really liked Slash and Burn.
Cool.
That one surprised me.
Astro Cities is always a. I have not read Slash and Burn. I want to read Gail Simone's Clean Room. And apparently there's something that happens in this second issue that has blown a lot of people's minds and really creeped them out. So I really want to pick that up. I just haven't had the time to do that yet, which is sad, but I will get to it eventually.
The one I forgot to mention is Unfollow, which has already sold the movie rights. So the script must be at least decent after just one.
Mm-hmm.
One issue.
I think Matthew did a review of that not too long ago.
And of course, Twilight Children, which is a limited series. And generally, if there's a limited series, I don't read it.
You just wait
and
for
again,
the trade.
You guys sold me on Limbo, so I went out mm-hmm. and read that, which was fantastic.
Wasn't that? That was such a good book. Now that's not Vertigo though.
No, it's Image.
No, that's Image Comics. That is such a good book. I was reading it again today, and then of course we were doing the feed of the Dueling Review episode ahead of time. And man, I just want to read the second issue right now.
I cannot wait for that. I really hope, you know, there's so much potential to develop there. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping if the limited series sells enough that they'll go ahead and do another volume. I mean, depending on how things shape up, I think there's enough, the world building that's been done, I think mm-hmm. you could easily do a second story.
Oh yeah, I think so too. And I'm going to bet that if it sells enough, that they will go ahead and do it. And I don't know what Vertigo considers successful enough, but if it gets in the top 50 consecutively for the first three issues, then it'll probably be a continuing miniseries.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was, those were my thoughts. Just, I think it's a really strong time for comics right now. Obviously Marvel is kind of controlling everything with all of their relaunches, but mm-hmm. DC has some shakeups coming in February with some new creative teams, but I'm just really pleased with Vertigo and of course Image for the last 2 years.
Excellent. Well, good. I'm pleased with them too. Image continues to put out a lot of cool stuff. Vertigo does. DC does a lot of stuff. That's good. I think there's just so many comic book companies out there right now that are producing really good stuff. I mean, over 300 comics a month, there's almost not enough time to read them all and not enough finances to buy them all, but there's some really great stuff if you really want to look hard. I reviewed Huck number 1 this week on the Major Spoilers podcast by Mark Miller, and it is so good. If you're looking for another book from Image that will be really good, is go pick that one up. At least
always
the first
looking for another book. I don't know if I'm always looking for more Mark Millar or Miller.
Now, so this is the interesting thing about it, because I don't know where it's going at the end of this first chapter. But this is, when you read this book, it does not read like a typical Mark Miller book. There's no language. There's no ultra violence. It is just it is Mark Miller's Superman. If he were keeping true to what people perceive as what a Superman story should be. And it's really good.
It is sitting in my pile. So,
okay. All right. Read it.
Hey,
and
I appreciate the time.
All right, Matthew, thank you so much. Thanks for calling in, and feel free to call in again next week, or not next week, but the next time we're on.
Enjoy your weekend. Happy holidays.
You too. Yep. You too. Bye. Yeah. So the other Matthew Peterson, he's been contacting us the last couple of weeks. And I'm glad that he did. I'm glad he reached out, and we had some problems last week getting him on the show, but this week was not a problem. Yes, I just fell in love with Huck this past week, and I cannot wait to see where it goes. I'm hoping it doesn't go into creepy, weird territory. I hope it doesn't turn into Mark Waid's, Insufferable, Irredeemable series. I hope it doesn't turn into that, because it could, depending on how you read that final issue, or that first issue of Huck, the final pages. But God, it's so good. I cannot wait to see where that goes next. I don't think we have enough time. Well, we do have maybe a little bit of time for one more call. If someone wants to call in really fast, 785-727-1939. I'm sorry. Yeah, 785-727-1939. In fact, sometimes it helps if I just put the phone number there up on the screen. Can't even read half of what I like, says Jarmo. That's the movie sucked less. Oh, going back to Snowpiercer, the movie sucked less than I expected. A lot of people ask, Stephen, where do you get your hat from, the fez from? It's from Fezorama. They have so many good deals. They've got a really cool Krampus hat that they have on right now for sale. I probably won't get it, but they have some really good designs. I'm hoping, because he shows up at a lot of the comic conventions, a lot of the major comic conventions around the country. So if you see him, he'll have a selection of hats there. A lot of the gaming conventions he shows up to, and certainly if you go to Gen Con, he shows up there. And that's where I got, a lot of them are tiki themed. Here's one that's a tiki themed. Here's a Tesla coil hat. Whoops, might help if I actually put it on the screen. Screen direction, there we go. I don't have my Hellboy or my Dungeons & Dragons hats in here right now. You know, I like to switch them up. I'm really hoping that he can work something out with the licensing departments at Marvel or DC, and we get some superhero-themed fezzes, because I would go bankrupt buying, like, a Batman theme, just the logo on a fez. I would go bankrupt buying those and Superman and Wonder Woman and all that stuff, so there you go. All right, I think we are out of time today. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to thank everybody who watched, everybody who's listening, everybody who shares a link to this show. If you're looking for more Major Spoilers content, I kind of mentioned it at the top of the show, the Major Spoilers Podcast Network Master Feed is filled with goodness. I've been listening to a lot of podcasters today saying, hey, the secret of success is to do a podcast every day. We do a podcast almost every single day for you. And they vary in topics, from gaming to comic books to movies to different areas of pop culture to live call-in shows that we do with you. And there is something there for everyone. So if you're looking for more shows, sign up to the Major Spoilers Podcast Network Master Feed and you'll get it all. But if you just want to subscribe to Critical Hit, if that's your thing, that's fine too. Remember, we're not here next week, or we're going to have maybe a different show next week, depending on how I can get everything set up. But if you are looking for some Black Friday deals, don't forget to use that Amazon link at majorspoilers.com to help us out. Majorspoilers.bigcartel is our web store. And of course, we would love to have more of you for the holiday season. Sign up to become Major Spoilers VIPs. But until the next time that we are together, here's hoping that your holiday is great if you're celebrating it here in the U.S. If you're not and you're from out of the states, out of the country, I hope that you're doing well. I hope you're safe. I hope you have a good couple of weeks. And we'll be back again real soon when it's finally Friday. And we're going to leave you this week with a rolling list of some of our VIPs. We love you all. Have a great week. Take care.